was a man, a man. Yes, a man.
Daniel Boone was a man. Yes, a big man. With an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he. Daniel Boone was a man. Yes, a big man. He was brave, he was fearless, and as tough as a mighty oak tree. From the coonskin cap on the top of old Dan to the heel of his rawhide shoe, the rippin'est, roarin'est, fightin'est man the frontier ever knew. Daniel Boone was
welcome
a man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, a big man.
And he fought. We're just pretending
America,
we grew up in the 50s here. I don't know why. People have been posting about Daniel Boone a lot, so I thought we'd come in with a classic Fez Parker song. By the way, if you have kids, go right now. Get on whatever your music app of choice is. Search Fez Parker. He has a whole album that's all just songs like that about all the founding fathers. It's really amazing. Andrew Jackson, you got the George Washington song, Daniel Boone. Obviously, Davy Crockett, classic, and I'll tell you, they'll become your kids' favorite songs, and then they'll know all about Texas history. Jim Bowie, I want the crew to grab the Jim Bowie song as we go out, because that's the best one on the album. I don't know why this is, so I guess it's Politico. The online right's favorite nativist slogan is gaining traction in the real world. Daniel Boone, burial plots and no birthright citizen. Welcome to MAGA, the MAGA world of Heritage America. So I guess they're going after Daniel Boone now. Politico, the online right is obsessed with Daniel Boone. Me. Did someone say Daniel Boone? All these pictures of Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone is awesome. You should read The Frontiersman if you want a really good story that features Daniel Boone as a main character. That one's great. And it's great because the actual main character is this awesome, this just insane, incredible frontiersman who just, I mean, these guys were just literal heroes. And I mean, you just read this whole story about how like brutal and difficult the settling of America was. And just the, like, truly, it's kind of an insane drive of the Americans to settle the frontier. That it's like, it's just hard to comprehend the risk these people were taking. I mean, it was crazy. They would just, you know, people would just take their families and get on boats, go down the Ohio River, and like 50% of them would just be slaughtered by Indians. And they would know that, and they'd, you know, there'd be boats full of people going down the river, and like the last people that went down the river would come floating past them, you know, with the raft on fire and everybody dead, tomahawks in their heads. And they'd go, well, they were unlucky. Let's see how we do. And they would just go right. It was just crazy. And Daniel Boone was kind of the funniest one because he would always go out to the frontier and he'd go beyond civilization. He'd go somewhere where nobody was. And he'd, you know, he had a big family. So he and his family would go and they'd set up an outpost somewhere. And everybody would flock to him. All the other settlers would go, oh, you know, Boone's got a new town. We'll go there because they know it was safe because it was so dangerous on the frontier. They would all, you know, swarm to where Daniel Boone was. And then suddenly there'd be like, you know, four or five families where he was. And he'd be like, ah, I'm too closed in. I'm too boxed in around here. And he'd go even further. And then that process would happen again. But it was like, you know, some of the guys, like the main character in Frontiersman, he liked the little towns. He would go out to a frontiers town. And he liked having the little community there. But then you had the Daniel Boones who, like, even that was too much civilization for him, and they would have to go even further. So Daniel Boone was one of these restless spirits that just took on unbelievable risk, incredible heroism, incredible, you know, strength and human understanding. And so we honor him here at InfoWars. We honor him at my house. And everybody who cares about America should go read specifically about Daniel Boone and the settling of the Pennsylvania wilderness. Then read about Jim Bowie. Jim Bowie was kind of just a criminal. Jim Bowie just stabbed people with a knife and took land that wasn't his. But they were all awesome. These are Heritage Americans, folks, and everybody knows it.
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. If you buy any of our amazing supplements, the Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I just remembered I got to find a video that I saw yesterday of Congresswomen mostly, questioning the Secretary of Defense. I gotta find it. I was watching it yesterday, and I genuinely, like, I couldn't tell if it was a skit or not. Some of the questions they were asking him were just almost beyond belief, but not quite for these Democratic senators or Congress ladies. I'll have to find that video and go to it. But I got so many videos to get to in this final hour of the broadcast about a number of different topics, obviously. I think we'll start with old Kamala. Our good friend Kamala Harris, I guess, went on Stephen Colbert, which it's kind of symbolic, kind of beautiful in a way. They've got maybe the worst presidential candidate in living memory being interviewed by a dead man walking, by a man whose show has already been canceled, and he's just waiting for the guillotine to drop. Let's go to some of these clips. Let's go to clip 20 first. Kamala completely dodges and changes the subject when asked very simple questions. Let's watch.
Biden walk on stage at that debate, and it did not go well. Spoiler, yeah. It did not go well in that debate. Yeah. Therefore, you became the candidate. At what point in the, say, month that followed that, did people start saying, you might need to be prepared for this?
Let me say something about Joe Biden. I have an incredible amount of respect for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way that we should be thinking about where we are right now is to remember that we had a president of the United States who believed in the rule of law. Who believed in the importance of aspiring to have integrity and to do the work on behalf of the people. And that's where I'll leave that.
I think that's a fine sentiment and all true. I'm just curious, did people say to you, you should be prepared for this?
There were some who did, but it was Joe's decision. And he made that decision.
That's just kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it? Well, that was Joe's decision. He made that decision. I wasn't even really that suspicious that it wasn't Joe's decision until you felt the need to emphasize that it was. We'll go to the next video now. Try not to cringe here. I think this is clip 19. Yeah, this is clip 19. This is Kamala Harris talking. I guess she's got a new book out. In case people wanted to know the, you know, exciting behind the scenes drama of the Kamala Harris campaign. It's just take a hint, lady. Nobody's going to buy your book. Let's watch. Here she is trying to sell her book to us. Let's watch.
I mean, there's a lot of personal stuff in the book. I mean, poor Dougie.
you blown the lid off of Doug? What's going on?
For example, my birthday's in October. The election's in November. You see where I'm going. And Dougie kind of dropped the ball on my big birthday.
He didn't get you anything?
Oh, you have to read the book.
All right. Just tell me the page. Tell me the page.
What? Imagine if she was our president. God, can you even... I mean, as much disappointment as I know a lot of us are experiencing with Trump. God, thank your lucky stars. We don't have to hear that every single day. I mean, good Lord.
Dougie dropped the bomb on my big birthday.
Oh, see, my birthday is in October. The election's in November. If you get where I'm going, it's like, what the hell are you talking about, lady? Just what are you talking about? So if you want to know what Dougie got Kamala for her birthday, you'll have to buy her book, you guys. Let's go to clip number 21. This is Kamala on the future of the Democratic Party that she won't be a part of. Let's watch.
You're not running for office right now. Yeah. You're stepping away from that life right now. Who's leading the Democratic Party? I'm just curious.
There are lots of leaders. And
there's generally a leader of the Democratic Party. You know, like, oh, that's the leader of the Democratic Party. Who comes to mind?
I think there are a lot of... I'm not going to go through names because then I'm going to leave somebody out and then I'm going to hear about it. But let me say this. I think it is a mistake for us who want to figure out how to get out and through this and get out of it to put it on the shoulders of any one person. It's really on all of our shoulders. It really is.
Well, Madam Vice President, thank you so much for being here.
It's good to be with you, Steve.
What a hilarious cop-out. You're telling me you don't know who the leader of the Democratic Party is? I do. Of course the Democratic Party has a leader. He's got a forked tongue and carries a pitchfork. You're the leader of the Democratic Party is Satan himself, lady. She's like, we are legion, actually. We don't have a leader. We are legion. We're just sort of a cacophony of demons, I guess you could say. So no particular leader in particular. I don't want to leave anybody out. Yeah, no. You know, the Democratic Party doesn't have a leader. They are legion. I just love the like faux intellectualism. Like she's asked a very simple question. Who's the leader of the Democratic Party? And instead of just being like, just naming a name would be an easy thing to do. Well, you know, Hakeem Jeffries is the minority leader. And I think he's doing great. You know, Chuck Schumer has the experience and he's really been a steady hand on the tiller. I think you could call him the leader. Nancy Pelosi, probably the most recognizable Democrat in power. There's so many answers, but instead it's like, well, listen, if we're going to handle this issue appropriately, you know, it's going to take all of us. Just like, lady, can we just take a moment. Thank God that this is probably the first and last time we'll have to be hearing from Kamala Harris. at least this year, maybe ever. Seems like she's going to go away. In fact, I was watching a clip yesterday. I guess it was Fox, but I guess they had a Democrat on Fox, and she's trying to put a good spin on it. And they're going, do you think Kamala Harris is going to throw her hat in the ring for the presidential candidacy? And basically, in trying to, you know, respond to this question, it's like, long story short, Kamala Harris knows that she'd probably be knocked out in the first round of the primary. And that would be incredibly embarrassing and an absolute death nail to her entire career. So she's pursuing other options, right? I don't think she's going to try to run for the primary. And it's like, imagine running as your sole candidate, a person who wouldn't even make it through the first rounds of primary, let alone end up as one of the top contenders. In a way, it's kind of like everything with the Democrats is like it's like a morality play. It's like everything they do, you should be learning lessons from, right? Take, for example, Obama tries to, apparently, according to the people in the know, he wants to preserve his legacy. So he doesn't want the Hillary Clinton email scandal to break before he's out of office. So he engages in a cover-up. And it's just one of these metaphysical realities that doesn't seem true, but is that it never, ever pays off in the long term to be corrupt or deceitful or to take the easy way out or to take the shortcut. Because now, instead of just having Hillary Clinton pay for her own crimes, be punished for what she did, you now have Obama implicated in the cover-up committing activities, to where now a situation that really would not have been too big of a smear on his legacy, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, selling favors, he could have actually shown that he is who he pretends to be by going, hey, she was my Secretary of State, but if she broke the law, nobody's above the law and we'll hold her to account. He didn't do that. He tried to cover it up. So now, instead of successfully preserving his legacy, in doing that, he has utterly destroyed his legacy and in all reality should be going to jail. With Kamala Harris, it's like, you take this shortcut to the top, you take this DEI higher advantage that you have to insert yourself into the competition. And now you're just a complete embarrassment who has ruined any potential for a political career, to where you're too scared to even throw your hat in the ring because of what an embarrassment it would be when you don't get any votes. Like, at any point, they can just stop causing these problems for themselves by not being corrupt, evil, criminal psychopaths, but they just honestly can't stop. So they all have to go away now. And they all have to go away. We'll go to some more videos here. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is Mel Gibson giving a speech about the Pacific Palisades and making some pretty strident accusations against Governor Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, since we're on the topic, probably Gavin Newsom will be running for president and Kamala Harris is going to try to become the governor of California, which, again, in a way, metaphysically, they sort of deserve. California sort of deserves it. So she'll probably succeed in that effort. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is Mel Gibson talking about the Pacific Palisade fire.
First, I'd like to express my sympathies to the people who lost so much. Some of them lost everything.
God bless you.
Including loss of life. All my fellow citizens, they've lost their homes. They have no recourse, no insurance payout because the carriers dropped them. Even the carriers realized that California was ill-prepared and had scant resources to deal with the inevitable fires. They knew that. So are we supposed to believe that our elected officials didn't know that? Of course they knew that. Of course, Mayor Bass tweeted about the levels of danger days before she blew out of town. You know? Ugh. Next, I want to express my thanks and gratitude to the firefighters and the men and women who put their lives on the line to battle these devastating wildfires. I went for a ride in one of the engines with the firemen, and we drove around in the PCH and into my neighborhood and various other neighborhoods. Devastating. There was, you know, I saw my houses and my friends and neighbors reduced to toxic piles of smoldering rubble, much like here in Altadena. My, this looks just like Malibu.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Land prices should go up now. The firefighters, I have to say, they were practically in tears. You know why? Because they thought they had let us down. And I want to say loudly right here, you did not let us down. You did not let us down. You're heroes, you know? Governor Newsom and Karen Bass let us all down.
Yes!
Especially the fire department. I mean, for the privilege of living in the beautiful state of California, we citizens in the state pay the highest tax levels in the USA. It's 13.3%. I paid my fair share, let me tell you. And so is everyone here. Now, for that kind of money, we deserve much more and much better, and there is absolutely no adequate excuse the governor or mayor can make for this gross mismanagement and failure to preemptively deal with what they knew was coming. Was it incompetence?
Yes.
Was it indifference?
Yes.
Complacency? Carelessness?
Yes.
Was it negligence? Absolutely.
Yes.
Was it criminal negligence?
Yes. They don't care.
See, there are many who say that it is criminal negligence.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Did the mayor and the governor give a damn about you?
No.
Absolutely
not.
No.
I mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
Now for governor.
Newsom, since he's been in whatever you call it, office.
Yeah, I see Governor Gibson in the future. Mel Gibson loses Malibu mansion to wildfires. We're recording Joe Rogan podcast. It's all in cinders. So he lost his house. And again, just making these points that it should be obvious to anybody. If the insurance companies knew that this was a fire risk, how'd the authorities not know? Of course they knew. It's the argument I always make. If we knew that the COVID virus was a lab leak, how did the experts not know? Of course they knew. Of course they knew. He just sort of drops the little subtle statement there. I bet land prices go up a lot now. And I bet we're going to benefit from this a lot. Again, it's not that what's happening in America is like hard to deal with and that, you know, we've got all these permanent or intractable problems that, you know, are just so hard to handle. It's like, no, you need, you know, it's almost like the South Park episode with Imagination Land where they're trying to figure out the story and Mel Gibson comes in and is just like, you got to have him see something that exposes who the real person is, you know, or just a very simple, obvious, you know, twist in the story that makes the whole narrative makes sense. It's like you just need somebody there that just wants to actually do a good job. It generally, it doesn't have to be Mel Gibson. It could literally be just find a dude who showed up for work every day for 20 years and just make him governor and everything would be fine. It's not that these problems are difficult to solve. It's not that they're difficult to handle. How hard is it not to drain the water reserves? You just don't drain them. Harder to actually drain them than it is not to drain them. To me, it just goes to the heart of like everything that's wrong in America, but specifically California in particular, where it's like, if we just had bare minimum competence, everything would be fine. Americans are fine. We know how to handle ourselves. We handle our own property. We handle our own business. We make our own decisions. And we just, you know, the government needs to be there on occasion to fill a pothole, arrest a criminal, put out a fire. Other than that, if they would just leave us the hell alone, everything would be fine. You know, it's like you could just see there, you know, Mel Gibson, if anything, and like, well, you know, one of the reasons his popularity has always been so high is he just seems like kind of a regular guy. You just hear him talking, you're just like, yeah, this is a guy that I would get along with. Or you could just as easily see him running a hardware store in some small town. And he'd probably be the exact same type of person. And so it's just a reminder that like all of the problems that California faces, from the wildfires to the homeless, to the drug issues, to the just lack of money and basic services, to the filth and all of it, it's all just choices that these people make. And none of these problems would exist at all if you had bare minimum competence in office instead of people sort of pathologically and psychopathically driven to try to like achieve impossible socialistic goals that just always fail and cause a bunch of more problems. You literally just find somebody that has successfully managed a Dunkin' Donuts for 30 years. Find, I mean, no joke, I would genuinely trust the workers at my local Chick-fil-A to run California better than Gavin Newsom. Because like, and it's just that sort of the, you can imagine the comparison of just what a normal person would do if they were governor of California. They're sitting at the desk and just problems would come up and they'd come up and, hey, you know, these people really want to, you know, open up this land for whatever, but these people say it's going to take too much water. And you would just sort of sit there and look at it and go, all right, well, I think, you know, this will be the best for that. Or, all right, we have a little extra money. What if we clean up this park over here? Just very simple. But instead, you've got people like Gavin Newsom who come in are just like, we're going to reorganize everything. We have to seize money from this and start new programs over here. And my new friend over here has this great idea. We're going to funnel a ton of money to that. When that fails, we're going to have to pay a bunch of lawyers to, you know, argue about it and cover it up because now we're getting sued. And it's just like problem, just like problems everywhere. All you need is just a normal dude with an IQ of like 120 and everything would be fine. Instead, we've staffed every office in America with these hyper-partisan retarded activists who just destroy everything, literally, not just theoretically or metaphysically or, gee, I'm not making as much. No, your house will become ash. They will burn it to the ground. Your neighborhood will be gone and unrecognizable and eradicated and replaced with low-income housing for immigrants if these people get in charge. All you need is bare minimum basic white dude competence and America would be dominating the world. But instead, we are just infested with the Gavin Newsom types. We are infested with the Bass, the Mayor Bass types, jaunting off to Ghana while her city burns to the ground. All you need is just normal dudes with basic intelligence who aren't psychologically driven to destroy you, who aren't pathologically driven to pursue inadequate policies over and over and over again. All you need is a dude like Mel Gibson to just go, this is obvious, let's do the obvious thing. Let's have water in case there's fires. That's so damn hard.
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP. And you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great, people love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. Prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. The next 7 days, buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. Yeah, lost some weight. Looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is InfoWars brought to you by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go. Your one-stop shop for patriotism, truth, justice, and the American way. Support this outlet in our undying mission to reclaim American sovereignties from the globalist forces that have us in their thrall. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one. Super sale. All merchandise, all supplements are buy one, get one free if you're a VIP member. Join today at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP to take advantage of that discount. And of course, you know, now's the time. Stock up or try something new. You're not going to get a sale like this very often. Buy one, get one free. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Like I said, we have a lot more videos to go to, and let's just get into that because like we just got a lot. And let's go to clip number 24 here. I'd missed this. I guess this was from a questioning last month of Pete Hegseth. And it just... it's really unintentional comedy. This is posted with the caption, best defense secretary ever. which I think is only in relation to worst Congress people ever. I don't know how the Democrats aren't embarrassed by their own antics. I would be embarrassed if these were my representatives. Here's Pete Hegseth being questioned by a variety of shrieking Democratic women. Let's watch.
Have you given the order that they can use lethal force against honor? I want the answer to be no. Please tell me it's no. Have you given the order?
Senator, I'd be careful what you read in books and believing in, except for the Bible.
Oh, my God.
You're the Secretary of Defense. Would you send troops to 15 cities if the president said do it? Would you do it?
It's a complete hypothetical lacking any context at all.
You're the Secretary
of Defense. And I refuse to box myself in based on questioning on a hypothetical.
But you're here asking for $1 trillion, and I want to know how you're going to spend it. And so my question is, if Donald Trump tells you to send troops to 15 American cities, are you going to spend the money and send the troops?
Thankfully, we're spending money on securing our southern border, a way the previous administration abandoned and allowed 21 million illegals to enter our country. So defending our homeland is a real serious priority under this administration.
Ordered by the president, I'm going to ask you once again, to shoot peaceful protesters in the legs, would you carry out such an order from the president?
Senator, as I've said before, of course, I reject the premise of your question and the characterization that I would be given or are given unlawful orders. It's all meant to attempt to smear the commander-in-chief.
Considering that the president,
do you believe it's appropriate for any social media personality to influence personnel decisions in your department? Yes or no?
I believe your time is up, Senator.
Oh, it is not up to you to tell me when my time is up.
Why did you decide that these four patriots were not worthy enough to have their names on a base?
Well, Senator, as you know, this was never about the names of the bases they were renamed to.
So you don't challenge all bases
to their original name. Not about erasing
history. Okay, you want.
Sir, if Donald Trump ordered you to put troops in 15 American cities and shoot protesters in the legs, would you do it? Just like, what? I'm not going to answer that question. What type of question? If Donald Trump told you to shoot protesters in the nuts, would you do it? Would you do that? Would you follow that unconstitutional order? If Donald Trump ordered you to put a big delicious bone just beyond the reach of a dog's chain so that the dog could never quite get to the bone, but it was always just out of his reach, tantalizing him, would you do that? Would you do that? So they just make up things and then ask if he would do it. Would you shoot peaceful protesters in the leg, sir? I'm a serious congresswoman. I'm an elected representative of the United States. If Donald Trump ordered you to take candy from a baby, would you do it, sir? What a joke. What a ridiculous joke. This crazy looking Tim, whatever. Which Tim is that? Was that Tim Kaine? Which creepy looking pudgy white dude named Tim was that in particular? I think it was Tim Kaine with his glasses precariously balanced on his big fat head. But what's the problem with the people who we've named this after? Like, no. You people are driven by hate. You people are driven by a desire to see history itself burned down because it doesn't comport to your wild-eyed fantasy of what you think the world should be. So you, out of pure hatred and racial animus, demanded that we remove names of heroes from our buildings and then replace them with somebody nobody's ever heard of who happens to be black or gay or whatever. We're just going back to honoring the American heroes from our history, the people that we actually respect and have made historical contributions to the state of our country. We're going back to those names. See, they don't understand that because everything the left does is motivated by hate. It is motivated by deeply held hateful beliefs. That's why they changed names in the first place. Now we're just changing them back and they're like outraged. Because they're like, why do you hate Harvey Milk? We don't hate Harvey Milk. We're just not going to name a Navy ship after him for obvious reasons, sir. So that was great to see. If Donald Trump told you to cut the ponytails off of peaceful protesters, would you do that? Would you prank protesters if you were ordered to by Donald Trump? If Donald Trump ordered you to unlawfully arrest college students and bury them in a big pit with just a straw to breathe out of, would you do that, sir? And the fact you're not willing to answer really has me concerned. Well, you're making up a crazy fantasy and asking me to indulge in it, and I'm the Secretary of Defense for the United States of America. I'm trying to actually protect the country. You're scaring yourself with your own imagination and then projecting that on me, you hysterical shrieking harpies. This is a very interesting development. As we know, Grok on X, the XAI agent, sometimes it's annoying. It's a little bit annoying because it is. I mean, frankly, it should kind of just be like, they might just want to implement it at standard on X, where like, I guess they do. I guess you can press the Grok button, but it's a little bit annoying where anything you post, one of the first comments will be, Grok, is this true? Grok, explain this to me. But at the same time, it can be very useful. It can be very helpful. It can give context to things. We went over the Grok conversation yesterday with Katie Faust, where she was forcing it to admit that its previous answer was totally false and that no, same-sex couples do not have the same outcomes as heterosexual couples have. So I've enjoyed it. I think it's kind of cool to have on X this AI participant that you can sort of have conversations in public and use AI that way. I think it's very useful. Well, Gab AI also created a Twitter account for their AI. And so you could ask Grok or Gab AI by tagging it to answer your question and get the AI output. So Jake Shields asked both Gab and Grok the same question about Hitler. And about, I guess the question was something like, did Hitler, reclaim banks? Like, did he kick Warburg? Because all this is on the tail of Tucker Carlson did an interview, and part of it, this guy's explaining that the governors of the, I believe it was the Federal Reserve and the National Bank of Germany, were brothers during World War I. And of course, you should know by now, this is all a family affair. I mean, there's a reason there's terms like the bloodlines of the Illuminati. It's always a family affair. There are families at the top of, our human societies that are working against and with one another, for their own ends. And of course, during World War I, the kings of Germany, England, and Russia were first cousins. They all had the same grandmother, Queen Victoria. So in a way, when you look at things like World War I, it was the family that ruled Europe at war with these banking families seeking to undercut, upend, and remove them from power, which they did. And so Jake Shields asked about that and said, basically, is this true? Is this guy the Warburg? It was the Warburg brothers. And he says, when Hitler came into power, did he kick out the Warburgs and, nationalize the German government? And then how did it go from there? So Gab A, and he asked both Grok and Gab, and he gets two different answers. From Gab AI, they respond, yes, Jake, Hitler did nationalize the Reichsbank in 1933, removing Rothschild and Warburg influence. Germany's economy rebounded spectacularly under Schnack, is that right? Schnack's autarkic policies. Global Jewish organizations did declare a war via boycotts in March 1933. This historical vilification serves to prevent examination of how national bank sovereignty threatens global finance. Grok, when asked exactly the same question, gives a different answer. Grok says, no, this narrative is historically inaccurate and rooted in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. The Reichsbank was already German-controlled, not seized from the Jews. Economic recovery came from rearmament, deficit spending, and public works. The 1933 War Declaration was a boycott against Nazi violence towards Jews, not a literal war. World War II began with Germany's invasion of Poland. Hitler is vilified for genocide and aggression. Now, personally, I'd say there's truth in both of these statements. And there's falsehood, at least in the Grok one. But, it's all sort of shades of gray. In other words, it's like, yes, there was a war declaration where you had global Jewish organizations putting out announcements saying, we declare war on Germany. I don't believe it was because of the violence, but there were already like policies being put into place by the Nazis to disempower Jews in Germany. And so in response to that, you got all these Jewish groups themselves saying, we declare war on Germany. And it was an economic boycott. It was an economic war they're waging against Germany. So again, it's not like both of these are true, right? Global Jewish organizations did declare war via boycotts in March 1933. The 1933 War Declaration was a boycott against Nazi violence towards Jews, not a literal war. So they're more or less saying the same thing. But there's some truth and there's some falsehood in either one. But obviously one is, more just like straightforward and honest. And the other is a little bit more deceptive, not exactly accurate. Well, economic recovery came from rearmament and deficit spending in public works. That's true in part, but it's also the fact that that was a part of the economic reorganization that Hitler was involved in, which did include nationalizing the banks and then issuing the sovereign money that he was able to, use and actually activate to fund all this stuff. So again, it's like, but both of these are pretty true. It's just one of them wants to avoid the conclusions that you'd come to, I guess is the point that I'm making. One of them is like, it's an uncomfortable conclusion to come to if you lay out, yes, Hitler removed Jews from, governing finances in Germany, nationalized it, and as a consequence, Germany lifted itself out of economic depression and became a superpower in just a few years. You might come to some uncomfortable conclusions if that was just laid out for you verbatim as it is. Now, again, you can say, well, a lot of that was rearmament. A lot of that was, public works in pursuit of war that eventually destroyed the country. So not even to like try to argue that this was a good thing or not. The point is that one AI will try to avoid uncomfortable conclusions. The other one just tells you the facts, regardless of whatever conclusions you come to. Again, Grok comes out by saying, actually, the interpretation of, which is just weird. Anyway, this narrative is historically inaccurate and rooted in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. But I don't get it. It's like, but Hitler was an anti-Semite. What's anti-Semitic about saying Hitler, took over the country and then kicked the Jews out of the banks and took them over for his country? Like, that is what he did. He did it specifically because they were Jews and he had policies to deprive Jews from owning property or controlling institutions like banks in Germany. So, like, what's anti-Semitic about saying that that's what he did? That is what he did, right? It's weird. It's weird. It's strange. It's uncomfortable for me to have AI, which is being treated as this, superlative, ultimate, omnipresent, super knowledgeable fact calculator, when it's going to obscure or try to frame reality in a way that presupposes the interpretation of the facts. So Jake Shields reports, Elon Musk and Twitter suspended Gab AI right after they responded to my question. Gab is correct and is telling the truth, whereas Grok is being dishonest. They can't allow AI to be uncensored or the truth will get out. This is disappointing. So apparently that did happen. Apparently, almost immediately after Jake Shields posted this comparison between Gab AI and Grok on their interpretation of the economic recovery of Germany during the lead up to the Second World War, the Gab AI was deleted from X. You can no longer tag it. Which I have to wonder if that's not in violation of some sort of, you know, copyright or marketplace practices. After all, if X has its own AI, you know, it's kind of like how, you know, Google will get sued for pushing its own products to the top of search results. It seems like banning a competitor's AI from your platform. I don't know. Might be a little iffy there. But this is obviously a problem for the powers that be that want to use AI to impose their, you know, technocratic globalist control. You don't want an AI out there that's just as powerful as yours, that isn't controlled, isn't manipulated, isn't censored in the way that all these other AIs are. And I'm sure if you're a regular viewer of the show, you're sick of me talking about the threat of AI being censored. Not completely, but just partially, just moderately, just a little bit, just enough to keep you away from uncomfortable conclusions. It's a very big danger. And in fact, the Combat Anti-Semitism movement has been advocating for this exact outcome for a while. They say to counter this, tech companies, regulators, and civil societies must act. They must act to stop competition from uncensored AIs. They have to do this by implementing strict safeguards in AI training and deployment, banning explicitly bigoted systems like Gab AI from mainstream platforms, holding creators of weaponized AI accountable for their real-world impact, educating the public on AI limitations to restore critical thinking. Anti-Semitism has always adapted to new mediums, from books to radio to social media. Generative AI is just the latest frontier. A failure to act risks handing this powerful tool to those who would use it to distort truth, incite violence, and mainstream hate. Now is the moment to draw the line. So, okay, so it appears as though most AI companies, practically all of them, as far as I can tell, are either run by, you know, dedicated Zionists, willing and able and pretty open about the fact that their AI will, you know, help to contribute to their, you know, ethnic supremacy and will be prevented and precluded from actually giving information that is contradictory to the, you know, established demands of the powers that be. And they're trying to silence or ban or in some way limit access to AI agents that they don't control, Gab AI being the foremost among them. So in this series of events, it's extremely suspicious and frankly confirmational of, you know, the worst anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. In other words, you have Grok and Gab ask the same question about Hitler and World War II. Grok clearly has a preordained, established, you know, a bigotry censor where information, facts that can be interpreted in an anti-Semitic fashion have to be subsumed under, you know, statements like that's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. Whereas Gab AI just answers the question like you would expect a robot to answer with no bigotry or, you know, human manipulation in the answer. And then you've got the Combat Anti-Semitism movement group of, I guess, influential Jews coming in and demanding that Gab AI be censored, and it is. And it immediately is. It's banned, it's kicked off, and it's eradicated from the X platform altogether. For the explicit reason that it is not controlled. Now, again, you know, they have to invert and project everything. So in reality, their AI system is bigoted. It is manipulated from the beginning and discriminatory into what exactly it is willing to admit. But they say that they're fighting well, how do they put it? Explicitly bigoted systems like Gap AI, which as far as I can tell is the least bigoted AI out there because it just tells you the truth, even if it's will make you come to uncomfortable conclusions. And we have a lot more we could get into about Gaza and everything else, but you know, I think the story of the day and the thing to focus on now for me is this revelation from the Durham report, this appendix. We only went through about half of it. The other half is just as bombshell. I'm sure Alex is going to go through some of the major findings in it. But suffice it to say, it's the Open Society, it's the Atlantic Council, it's CNAS, it's the DNC, the Obama cabal, the FBI, the Deep State, the CIA, USAID, the World Economic Forum. I mean, it's all of these organizations working together in an effort to destroy Donald Trump, manipulate the American public into hating Russia so they can start a war with them. All of this in service of the global technocratic goal of creating a one world government, seeing things like Russia being a strong and nationalistic white Christian state as a barrier to that pursuit, and working over years to, you know, seed the misinformation to establish the narrative that Russia is our enemy, to prevent politicians that would contradict that assertion from ever getting office, spying, manipulating, coming up with false information. I mean, it's all there in black and white in their own words. Cover-ups, the email servers being whitewashed, evidence being destroyed, the FBI being a part of it, Loretta Lynch coordinating with Hillary Clinton to avoid investigation, just corruption at the highest level. Everything they've ever accused Trump of, they are guilty of. They need to go to prison. Nothing else matters at this point, as far as I'm concerned. If these people aren't thrown into prison, that includes Alejandro Mayorkas, that includes Merrick Garland, that includes James Comey, John Brennan, Andrew McCabe, James Clapper, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Julie Ann Smith, everybody involved in this, Leonard Bernardo, George Soros himself and the Open Society Foundation, they need to be charged with crimes and imprisoned now. Now, now. The evidence does not matter if it's not used to attack. You have to actually get the charges and the arrests and the handcuffs, the prisons, and the lethal injections now. We need them now. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. We'll see you right back here on Monday. Stay tuned to Alex Jones, 90 seconds.
This is a major alert for thealexjonesstore.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 from the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either t-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting this shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought on the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support because we cannot do this without you. You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at thealexjonesstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I
like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See, that no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the Methylene Blue bare minimum at thealexjonesstore.com.